Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on.
What if the most provocative, mysterious miracle in the Bible didn't happen in a cathedral or even in a synagogue, but in a burial gone wrong, tossed in haste, forgotten by men, but remembered by God? In this week's episode, we crack open a strange little story in 2 Kings chapter 13, one where a dead man touches the bones of a long-gone prophet and rises. No altar call, no music swell, no faith, just contact with what used to carry the spirit. He didn't ask, didn't believe, didn't even know it was happening. The spirit moved anyway. And maybe that's the point. Maybe this story was whispered into scripture for all the folks who've run out of prayers. The ones buried under the weight of too much life, too much failure, too much silence. For the ones who wonder if God still works miracles when the prophets are long gone and the temple's been looted. This miracle's not the headline. It's barely even a footnote. But sometimes the most important truths are the ones hidden in the margins. Because if God can bring life through dry bones, if the Spirit can resurrect what's already buried, maybe grace doesn't need your consent. Maybe she just needs to crack in a tune. Hey, I'm Pastor Jim. This is the Semi-Seminarian, where even the forgotten stories still preach. And the Spirit ain't done yet. So pull up a chair, friend, and let's see what rises. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, well, let me get started here. I wanted to open up the discussion, this discussion tonight with this. I wonder if you ever wonder like the way I wonder, because sometimes I don't know if you ever like read your Bible and you think you read like, oh, the Red Sea story or the burning bush story or David and Goliath. And sometimes like contextualizing those events in our lives are difficult, because it's hard for me sometimes to imagine, because I've never seen God do things like that in the world. Now, don't get me wrong, I've witnessed miracles and I've seen the Spirit move, but I'm talking about like the burning bush moment, right? The pillar of cloud and the fire to lead the people kind of moment. And I think that there are a lot of people that struggle with that, sometimes to the point that they rationalize these stories away to be, oh, I don't know, maybe even part myth. If nothing else, people will think, what do those old miracles have to do with me? God doesn't work that way in the world anymore. And if that's you, then this word is for you. Because God isn't finished even when we think that it's over. And the story we're going to talk about tonight is a guy who didn't pray, didn't plan, didn't even speak, and still got raised from the dead. Grace caught him mid-fall. It's a story for anyone who feels buried by life, haunted by time, or maybe too late to be called alive again. And more than anything, it's a story about God's power still moving, even when all we see are dry bones. Now, I'll also wager that when at the end of this discussion, most of you will probably go, man, that guy really knows his Bible. And I'll be like, thanks, I know. So let me ask you something honest tonight. Where have you been seeing just dry bones, where before you saw God alive and moving? Your marriage, your prayer life, the dream you used to carry about your personal ministry or your music or your calling or the church or America. Some of us remember what it felt like one time to be full of fire, full of trust, full of God. But lately, when we look out over that place, we just see dust. Maybe we think we're being realistic. Maybe we're calling it maturity now. But the truth is, we stopped believing God still moves in that place. Tonight, we're going to go to a graveyard in 2 Kings. And in that graveyard, God refuses to play dead. Okay, so you guys have to stick with the history lesson before we get to the other part, because it's important to understand what's happening when this is happening. By the time we get to 2 Kings chapter 13, Israel is gasping for air. The kingdom has split. There are the northern tribes have turned their backs on God, trusting in politics and idols and compromise. Jehoash is on the throne. He's not a godly king. He's not a good king. Just a placeholder in a long line of disappointing king after disappointing king after disappointing king. And Elisha, the prophet who once carried Elijah's mantle, who once stood in the power against kings and armies, is now on his deathbed. And when he finally dies, it feels like somehow it's the end of the line. The last prophet of fire was gone. The silence is deafening. And it won't be broken for a long time. Fact, it will be roughly 40 years before another prophet rises up and speaks again. And that prophet will be Amos, and his words won't be words of comfort. They'll be confrontation. He'll preach judgment against the northern kingdom. That the one that once leaned into Elisha's prayers. So in this gap between Elisha and Amos, this miracle in the graveyard is God's defiant whisper, even now, I'm still here. Don't bury your hope with the prophet. So you said something about the Bible. Let's get into it. Here's the story. 2 Kings chapter 13. 20 and 21, two verses tonight for our Bible study, and that is more than enough. So, the prophet Elijah. Elijah died and was buried. Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb, and when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood to his feet. Whoa. Let's not get caught up in the emotion of it yet. That's for a second. For the contemporary reader of this passage, for the person who would have unrolled the first scrolls and read this if they could, whether they were hearing it still in exile in Babylon, or maybe they were rereading it in a makeshift synagogue centuries later, this moment would have rung in the ears of these hearers like a thunderclap. The story itself takes place in the past, like I was just mentioning. We're in that same boat that they are. This story happens during the era of kings and prophets, when God's power often showed up in unmistakable ways, but the earliest readers would have been living in a very different time. Long after the monarchy had crumbled, the temple had been destroyed, and prophetic voices have now grown silent. They did not read this like a newsflash. They read it like a memory. And yet, even though it was history, it confronted their present with a single haunting question. Could God still move now, even here? There's only one other comparable event, same kind of thing, in the whole of Hebrew Scripture, the Old Testament. And it happens when a dead boy is raised through Elijah's intercession. In 1 Kings 17, right, we read about him laying on a boy and bringing him back to life. But our story about Elisha and this man, this isn't like Elijah. This isn't a prophet praying, laying on hands, pleading with God. This is a body thrown. This is unintentional resurrection. It's bizarre, jarring, and according to Old Testament scripture, utterly unique. It tells the people, these readers, they no more have a temple, they no more have prophets, no more king worth mentioning. God is not confined to what you've lost. And here's what that would have meant to the earliest readers, the folks who picked up the scroll. Maybe still in Babylon, back in Jerusalem, perhaps, with half-built city walls and shattered confidence. And these weren't theologians. They were refugees or returnees trying to remember how to worship. When they looked up from this story, they didn't see thrones or altars or armies. They saw ruins. And they weren't reading the morning paper. Again, they were reading what they understood to be sacred history. This story, Elisha, took place generations before the earliest readers. And back when that time, when it still felt like God moved, now they're living in the aftermath, after the fall, after the exile, after our temple has been leveled to the ground. And into that silence, they read this old story of a man being raised by the bones of a prophet. To them, it would have sounded like thunder rolling out of their memory. Because God wasn't just reminding them of what used to happen. He was reminding them that he still could and he still would. That even buried faith can breathe again. This wasn't nostalgia. This was permission to hope again. This was divine disruption to shake up their assumptions, to stir their imaginations and reopen their hearts for the actual possibility that God might show up and work in their lives, even now. They saw neighbors who spoke foreign tongues. They saw dust in the air and doubt in their bones. And this story dared them. And friends, it dares us to believe that even when the temple is gone, even when the land is occupied, even when the kings have failed and the prophets are silent, even then, the God of Israel is not done yet. It dares us to believe that even bones can preach. Even ruins can rattle back to life. This is not your average graveyard service. No eulogy, no casseroles, just panic and prophecy. These folks are trying to bury a man with raiders on their heels. So they just toss him into the nearest tomb, which happens to be Elisha's. And the second that dead body touches the old prophet's bones, resurrection. No altar call, no choir, just the holy leftovers of a faithful life, lighting the spark of God's power again. This miracle isn't just about the one man. In fact, it's not about the man at all. It's a signal flare in the middle of a very spiritually dark time. Let's make some other biblical connections, though, for fun. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. That might be where you might have thought I was going in the beginning, but I know you already know that story. God brings Ezekiel to a valley full of bones. Ezekiel 37 and 3. Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel replies, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then God tells him to speak. Ezekiel 37 and 5, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. That vision came during Israel's exile, another era in their existence where everything had seemed lost. And still, God says, speak to the bones, prophesy to the graveyard. In both Ezekiel and Elisha's day, God's people needed to be reminded, I still breathe where you see nothing but dust. And let's talk about Jesus and the 4-day dead. In John 11, Jesus delays after hearing Lazarus is sick. He waits on purpose. By the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. John 11, 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. 11 and 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now here's something important to know about Jewish tradition. It's common belief in the first century that a person's soul lingered near the body for 3 days. But on the 4th day, the soul departed for good. So when Jesus shows up after 4 days, it's not just a physical resurrection. It's a challenge to despair itself. It says, even when you have believed, it's beyond hope, I will still speak life. And that, friends, brings us right back to Elisha's tomb, to the bones that shouldn't breathe but do. So, why does God raise an unnamed man in a panic burial in 2 Kings? Why not wait for something big, something cleaner, something more liturgically appropriate? Because this moment wasn't about neat theology or spiritual fireworks. It wasn't even about the guy. It was about a nation that had stopped expecting God to show up and actually work in their lives. It was about a people who had left hope sour into cynicism. It was about priests going through the motions, kings propping up politics instead of altars, and prophets dying off one by one while the people fought for God, what it felt like to be shaken by the Spirit. And right in the middle of all of that death and despair, God acts without permission, without planning, and like I mentioned earlier, without precedent. God took the bones of a buried prophet and made them preach one more sermon, not with words, but with life. It's as if the miracle itself shouts, even when you've given up, I haven't. Even when you've buried your faith next to your disappointment, I'm still breathing. And even if all you see are bones, I still see a body ready to rise. So let me step in a little closer here, friends. Because this isn't just a Bible study. It's a mirror. Where's your graveyard? Where's the part of your life that used to hum with God's presence, but now it echoes with silence? Maybe it's your belief that prayer changes things. Maybe it's your conviction that's now shaken that God actually still heals. Is it your calling, the one you whispered about in your 20s but buried in your 40s? Where have you traded faith for familiarity, spirit for safety, expectancy for exhaustion? Some of us have been dragging around spiritual corpses, marriages we won't bury but won't bless, ministries we resent but won't release, grief we won't allow ourselves to grieve because we're afraid of what might wake up if we name it. Here's the wild grace of the whole story. You don't have to resurrect yourself. You might just have to fall right into the presence of God's former faithfulness, right into the bones of someone who carried God before you, right into legacy, memory, promise, power that's been resting beneath your surface of your life this whole entire time. And when you fall in faith, even accidentally, something might just stand up that you thought was dead. And don't miss the deeper truth here, friends. God did not raise this man because of his faith. He raised him because of Elisha's faithfulness. And that means you might rise. Not because you got it all right, but because someone before you did, because your grandma prayed, because your pastor stayed. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't need your perfect belief. It just needs a body to breathe into. So let me ask you, and this time, think, answer with your whole heart. Where have you just been seeing dry bones where you used to see God alive and moving? Because wherever that is, friends, that's your tomb. And tonight, that's where the Spirit wants to breathe. Where have you just been seeing dry bones where you used to see God alive and moving? Maybe tonight, when you look again at that place, you won't just see the bones. You'll see a God who still breathes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Grace doesn't always wait on your altar call. Sometimes grace just stumbles into the grave you gave up on and whispers resurrection into the bones you've already buried. That man we find tonight in 2 Kings never spoke. He didn't breathe. He didn't believe. He just fell dead into the place where God's promise had once lived. And somehow, that was enough. Because when the Spirit moves, even tombs tremble. When God is still telling the story, silence becomes sermon, and death becomes the footnote. So maybe tonight the reminder is you don't need to perform or prove or plead. Maybe you just need to stop running, stop pretending. Fall back into the memory of when God used to move and trust that He still does. Because the same Spirit that raised the dead in a panic, still roaming the graveyards, still speaking through bones, still waiting to bring you back to life. Thanks for listening to the Semi-Seminary. I'm your old buddy, Pastor Jim. And until next time, friend, be blessed.
Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to...